Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and recently I read a newsletter by Gary Wilkerson. He's with World Challenge, and some of you may be familiar with his dad, David Wilkerson, but Gary Wilkerson, just a great pastor, great writer, and I get his monthly newsletter, and he wrote an article a couple months ago called Loving Jesus, What It Really Means to Receive and Give. And yet, what he really addressed in this article was that a lot of times those as followers of Jesus, we get caught up in not realizing that, you know, we need to be forgiving others. We get kind of legalistic like the Pharisees were back in the Bible. And, you know, the fact of the matter is none of us like to think of ourselves as a stereotypical Pharisee religious person, rigid, a moralistic figure who, that they opposed Jesus back then. And we don't like to think of ourselves like that. But Wilkerson said, you know, as several Christian writers point out, they're the ones in Scripture whose lives most resemble our own. It's not because we oppose Jesus, but because we strive hard to live upright lives the way they did. And let's face it, because we rarely feel the need for forgiveness. And I want to say that because I know that 95% of the people that listen to my program are followers of Jesus. He said that, you know, let's face it. We rarely feel the need for forgiveness to other people. You know, we like to look at others and say, oh, they need to forgive me. And, you know, why not? And they haven't asked for that and all that. But it just really stung me. It really pricked my spirit. I thought, man, how's my heart with forgiveness for people that have hurt me? And Wilkerson went on this newsletter to say, I don't know about you, but about 90% of my intimacy with God is when he initiates with me and I respond. God's love will follow me in some way, say through worship at church, when I lift up my hands to him, or when I'm studying to prepare a sermon, and he shows up and he gives me a timely word. It's in those moments I respond to God's love with a deep gratitude. I want to ask you, when's the last time you just showed some deep gratitude to God about just for loving you and being so good to you and blessing you and being your protector and your provider? I mean, you know, we all hopefully have those moments, but man, I want to have more of those moments in 2019. And I'm trying to do better at doing what Psalm 46:10 encourages, challenges us, tells us to do. And it's simply to be still and know that he's God. But he said, Wilkerson said in this letter, said, you know, most of our waking hours, we aren't moved or stirred to love on God. How often do we initiate a move toward Jesus saying, Lord, I want to minister to you. I want to pour out my heart to you in love. We don't. And a lot of times it's because we have unforgiveness in our hearts. And, you know, Jesus, he talked about in Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 47, he says, he was talking to Simon. Then turning toward the woman, he looked to Simon. He said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with her ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, okay, this woman was a prostitute, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Man, that's powerful. That's Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Jesus said, he who is forgiven little loves little. The reason this woman could love Jesus so much was because she knew that she had committed a lot of sins. She was a prostitute. And here we are over 2,000 years later. And man, we're so guilty of judging people that, you know, we put categories of sins and which ones are the bad sins, the big sins. And it's not changed 2,000 years later, but what Jesus said still rings true today. But those who are forgiven little, they love little. And friends, I just want to ask you today, how's your love for Jesus and for other people? For some of you, it's wonderful. Man, I rejoice with you and thank you for showing people Jesus. We don't need to be just telling people about Jesus, which we need to make sure we're doing that too. But man, we need to live it with our lives, with our actions, with our words, with our finances, every area of our lives. You know, One time I was preparing a sermon when I was at Northeast Christian in Lexington, and I was sitting there and talking about, you know, where is God in the boxes of your life? And I said, you know, we got our church box, we've got our finances box, we got our job box, we got our family box, we've got our social activities box, we've got our physical fitness box, and just felt God really clearly say to me, you know, Greg, I think that's great that you gave me a box, but you know, I'd really like to be included in all the boxes of your life because, you know what, I created them. And man, I'd love to help you with them, but I need to be invited to all those boxes. And I want to ask you, what box, what area of your life is it that you need to invite God into today? It's different for all of us. But you know, we all kind of have these certain boxes, certain areas of our life that, you know, no, God, I got this one. And yet it may be something that's going really well, but yet maybe God wants to bless it more, but you need to invite him to be a part of it. But sometimes we're afraid what God might do. But you know, I think God's words to Simon as he was at his house there visiting are, you know, it's just a kind of an invitation to a nagging question that really afflicts many of us. Why don't I feel Jesus' love more? And why don't I feel more love for Jesus? Because most of the days it feels like I'm just going through the motions. And, you know, the fact of the matter, Wilkerson says in this newsletter, believe me, these questions afflict a lot of people in ministry. Wilkerson said, I'm a sixth-generation minister in my family, and I'm both proud and humbled by that fact. But it's easy for somebody like me to go days on end without thinking I need God. And my sin in that regard has just as much consequence as the person selling marijuana on the street corner. Why? Because Jesus is forgotten in my heart while the world he places before me keeps spinning and sinking in darkness. The beauty of that moving scene in Luke in chapter 7, verses 44 through 47 that I read earlier is that Jesus is teaching us how to love him. It's striking that even as he talked to Simon, that Jesus kept his eyes on the woman and her crude demonstration of love. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." You know, it's kind of as if Jesus was saying, you could just as easily be doing this too, Simon. The dinner was delicious. The theological talk was great. And those are really wonderful gifts to me. But I only want your love. I want to ask you today, do you love God? Do you really just love him? And not love him because what he can do for you, but just because he's God. He's the very one that gave you breath this morning. Sometimes in those rare moments where I take time to realize that the creator of the universe, the very one that allowed me to have breath this morning, he actually loves me. And in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's God's love letter to us. He wants to pursue a relationship with us that is real and personal. And friends, he will not stop at anything to make sure that we know that. And I love, you know, John 3:16 and, you know, Super Bowl's coming up. And you'll see John 3:16. Somebody will have it on a sign held up at the game and might even be three or four of those. And, man, I praise God for that. And, you know, it simply says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and that whoever believes in him," in Jesus, "shall not perish but have everlasting life." But, you know, as much as I love that verse, I love verse 17 in John chapter 3 just as much, and sometimes even more, because it says, "For God sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save the world." I'll say it again, that God sent his son Jesus not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And friends, so many of you, even though, man, you're at church every Sunday and You may be there on Wednesday night. You may be in a life group, and you may even tithe, give 10% of the income that God's entrusted you with. But man, you live under such condemnation, and you're harder on yourself than God would ever be. And when you're hard on yourself, then you're hard on others. Some of you, man, you show up at church on Sunday, and man, you look great. You're in your nice clothes. You drive a nice car, and you're saying praise the Lord, and you sing the songs, and yet, man, you're not a good husband. You're not a good wife. You're mean to your kids. You're not a good boss. And I'm being negative, but I'm just speaking the truth in love. Some of you, it's heart time. Look at your heart. And the best thing you can do is just really spend some time with Jesus and just say, God, I want to love others like you do. And thank you for loving me. And thank you for your grace. And thank you for your mercy. And I just think Gary Wilkerson in this newsletter that he wrote recently from World Challenge about loving Jesus, what it really means to receive and give. That, you know, those who are forgiven much, they forgive much. And friends, that's what some of us today do need to do. And part of the condemnation is we can't forgive ourselves. And got to remind you, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, for there's no condemnation for those who've accepted Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you today, as we wrap up the program here in about a minute and a half, what will it look for you this year to love Jesus more intimately? What would that look like? You know, we're called to spread the flame of God's love. But you know what? Those of us as followers of Jesus, we can't give away what we don't have ourselves. And I want to urge you today just to receive God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ, and then just love Him right back. You know, that's really the deepest meaning of receiving and giving, and the beginning of a deeply fulfilled life. And that's why I love at the Christian church. I grew up in the Baptist church, and people ask, what denomination are you? I'm like, I'm a Jesus guy. That's who I am. But I do like in the communion church that they do have communion each Sunday. And some people say, well, it loses its meaning. But, you know, it doesn't for me. And the reason it doesn't, it's that reminder every week when I take that for a couple minutes at least, I am going to do Psalm 46:10 and practice that. Be still and know that He's God. And I'm reminded how much God loved me and how much He's forgiven me for. And a chance to get a do-over, a fresh start. And just say, thank you, God, for loving me, that you gave your best, your one and only Son, Jesus. You love me that much. And to ask for forgiveness for whatever it is that's separating me from God. And to rededicate my life again to Him. And to love others the way He loves me. And to forgive others like He's forgiven me. Maybe for some of you, you just need to do communion right now, man. You need to get out a piece of bread and just use water. It doesn't have to be grape juice, okay? Piece of bread, whatever. It can be a goldfish cracker. Who cares? But just the act of saying, Lord, I know you love me so much. And just to rededicate your life to Jesus with a time of communion. Well, that's going to wrap up our program today, but I hope that you are blessed, and I hope that you'll join us again soon for Hope is Here. I'm Greg Horn. God bless.
Join Sunrise Children's Services Saturday, February 9th for a power-punched evening with boxing great George Foreman to celebrate Sunrise's 150th anniversary. Called Fighting for Hope, this evening is sure to inspire and encourage as George shares his testimony of failures and successes. For more information about Sunrise Children's Services and Fighting for Hope, go online to sunrise.org. That's sunrise.org, or call 800-456-1386.